It started recording with a burp. Okay. So when you hear that, you know that's the beginning.
Okay.
So you should you be hearing me talk on this recording too?
No.
Because I
That's
feel
why we've
like,
got the headphones.
I know, but it's weird because I feel like when I'm talking, it's moving.
Yeah, when you talk, it should move, but when I talk, it shouldn't.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's doing that.
Okay, so that's, see, when I'm talking, it's moving, and then we put my move
okay.
and your move, and then it works out.
Okay, okay, good. All right.
I think this should sound pretty good.
I think it'll be, yeah, because, I mean, if it's as clear as I'm hearing you right now, then it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should be.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Let's go.
So you know the question I'm asking.
Okay.
Basically, what do you think consciousness is?
Okay. Okay. Well, you'll cut that out. So, I guess in my world, my mind, what I think consciousness is, it's like more than just, well, I guess it is just one thing, and it's the thing I dub as the soul, but I don't like to use that word because conscious sounds more, what would the word be? More
scientific?
Yes, scientific, it's credible, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Consciousness has a basis, it's more credible, and soul is kind of arbitrary, picked out there, and people can, like, take it a certain way and, you know, morph it around and, I don't know,
yeah.
say you're religious or say something else. So I guess I put that out there that I'm not religious right off the bat. But, okay, so soul, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, I think that is the inner human, I guess you could call it, like the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an inside person, and I identify with two people inside of me. So the outward person that talks and speaks, and the inner person that talks and speaks, but only internally and to me. And I think that's what I call my consciousness. That's like on a personal level. But
okay.
consciousness in general, and if we're going to go more in a broad...
Well, we'll get to it generally. So let me ask
yeah.
you, in terms of like this internal consciousness, in what way do you... Is like the outward expression you're talking about of, you know, like you talking and interacting in daily life, how does that part interact with the inner consciousness? Is it still you? Is it still your person? Or how is it...
Okay. Yeah, and I guess what I would say is that it definitely interacts with it, and I'll go into detail about that. But what I do want to say is that I don't say that my consciousness is Layla. I find that Layla, the human, the body, is where my consciousness resides and chose to be to live in this earth, this realm, that it uses this body. So I look at almost my body and Layla as a robot. Not that it's not a very smart, mechanical robot that can think and do things on its own without my consciousness. I still believe it could probably function without my consciousness. Just my consciousness affects it because I let it affect it. You could live without your consciousness affecting your body.
So... When you have an internal conversation, presumably with Layla, the outward person, and the inner person, so like when you think, is that you interacting with consciousness?
Yeah, I don't want to say all the time, because I'm sure my mind thinks on its own sometimes. I'm sure my mind is capable of creating thoughts which I find to be like noise in my head that like could...
What is a consciousness-Layla interaction?
with
an example.
Okay. I guess it would be when I feel it. So I identify as it being a feeling. So I do say that it's something I feel. So I guess that's how I say it's real.
Mm-hmm.
An example of when my consciousness interacts, I guess, would be, can happen like any time of the day. It can happen many times. And it could be a day where I just feel like I move without my consciousness being completely aware all the time. Because I think I would be lying if I said that I'm constantly aware of every situation that I'm in. And it's hard to explain, but I guess I would try to say, what I would try to say is, when, say, this conversation is happening, I'm completely aware of this conversation. I'm completely aware of what I'm saying. I'm completely aware of where it's coming from, making sure that it's not a noise from my head, from what people tell me, from the noise I hear from TV or internet. I make sure that what I'm saying now is coming from my internal conscious instead of being affected by my outward world. Now, I still think the outer world affects it, not in a like negative way all the time. It awakens the consciousness. It makes you like think more in terms of your consciousness. But at the same time, you want to listen to that thing that people call intuition, if you will. But it's just listening to that inner you.
Okay. So how do you think the brain interacts with consciousness? Because what you've described, that sort of that feeling of focus is a brain function. It's something you can do in virtue of how your brain perceives stimuli. So, you know, whether it's like Tibetan monks who can lower their heart rate and change their brain waves to, you know, these crazy states, that type of focus is a brain thing.
True.
How is brain related differentiated to consciousness?
Yeah, like how do I differentiate the brain from the consciousness kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess, like, I agree that it's definitely, I think the consciousness wouldn't exist without the brain, the human brain, actually, because animals have brains. But the level of consciousness that we can achieve or that I feel we have is completely linked to the brain. The brain is an outlet for it to speak, even if it's in your brain, not talking, you know? Even if, you know, it's a person that cannot speak, they still have the ability to communicate with their consciousness within. And so that's how I link it. I do directly link it that the brain allows the consciousness to exist. Now, your question is why do you say it's consciousness and not the brain? Because can the brain do everything the consciousness can do?
No, I understand what you're saying, because I don't think, or at least I don't know, that the brain can explain everything that is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, there, like you said, it's something about the structure of the brain that allows the features, including the strange features of consciousness, to arise somehow.
Right.
So I guess I want to know not how it does that, because that's pretty impossible, but what you think consciousness is, and that the physical brain can raise it in some way. Not raise it, but like that the human brain can call in consciousness. How do you think that happens?
Oh, okay. I think it's the brain, like, it's the brain and body's curiousness that, like, attracts that. The body,
like, there are laws of the universe, like gravity and electromagnetism and stuff like that. Do you think consciousness exists in that sense as a law of the universe? that it's described to function in a certain way?
Yeah, I definitely think it's an existence thing, like that it is like a as real as those laws, but I guess this is a pretty serious question, you know? I mean,
no, let me see if I need to rephrase it in a different way. So, okay, if it is this type of, you know, law of the universe type thing, what is it? Because if it's a law of the universe, the fact and the way it exists in humans is incidental. It's specific to how humans developed on Earth. So the fact that we were afraid of predators, that we needed food, it tweaked our consciousness in this way. So what do you think consciousness is as the general rule that we happen to access in this very human way?
I guess that's almost typecasting it to like this Earth. And it's a lot broader than that, and it's a lot less, like, defined. At least the way I feel. So, like, you know, consciousness, I believe, still exists, you know, in various forms. But in human form, we can, like, delve into it and question and go into, you know, because the human is like the most modern technology available to us on this earth, because I still feel it's a technology, you know, it's an advancement, it's a really, really high advancement in technology that we can like be in. So it's the fact that we're in this body that makes it a privilege, I guess. Am I talking about what you're asking?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like an easy question to answer, but so I guess, do you think, well, you know, a law of nature like gravity doesn't really exist in any way other than a very like computational formulaic way. How right. would consciousness exist?
Okay.
Outside of its particular implementation in humans or whatever other creatures out there, how does it actually
exist?
Yeah.
Okay. It exists in a completely different way than it exists in us, and that's what makes it confusing. I think that's what makes it hard, because you want to just like see it like here it's like this, therefore there it's like this, you know, like. And it's not that, like, clear cut, because our consciousness is very similar if we look from one person to another. What our consciousness seems to do or tell us, or things we arrive at through our consciousness, if we were all to pay attention to it really, like, strictly, it's very similar. Unlike the human body or animals or things, like, they differ a lot. So I guess, like, in that sense, like, that's what makes consciousness kind of similar. So then if you want to take it to the next level of what it's like or how it exists maybe in our universe, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, how is it out there?
Yeah, okay. Well, the existence of consciousness in our universe is just purely that it exists. And it's not in a box, and it's not in a body, and it's not, like, put into a bottle, you know? Like, it's not bottled up. It is very conscious. So it is pure conscious. But how is that explained is... you know, what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
What we're all trying to do, really, I guess. I mean, I think this is what you're trying to do. Right?
I mean, is it is it something that's conscious in the sense that it cares about, you know, the conscious things it spawns? It's, or is it really the law of nature type?
It doesn't really rule? Care or not care. It is there. And it exists and it balances itself, therefore it doesn't have to care, you know? There isn't a need for it to care because it's a system that runs on its own. Without care, without not care.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would explain it to you. So it's something that's very systematic. It's something that's very, like everything else we develop on Earth, I feel, you know, the things we make and the achievements we're trying to get to is this consistency, this same all around the table, this pure, completely everything alike, you know, but without losing identity. And this consciousness has created that, but without losing identity, because look at me, Layla, that has a conscious, but I am not you that has a conscious. We have created identities for these consciousness. These consciousnesses.
Do you think it's gettable? Like, do you think that with enough time and research into our brain and artificial intelligence that we could be like, oh, hey, it's, you know, it's that. I got it.
I don't think, like, I think it's probably very close. It probably happens. But it ends up destroying more than it allows people to know. Like, this could, that complete knowledge, I guess what I would say is that, is it necessary? Do we need to do that? Or is that human mind and human eagerness to beat it? Is that competitiveness?
I think it's actually quite nice. Because the way I see it is, like, our universe has generated self-awareness. And that we're an example of that. And I think just out of the sheer coolness of it, we should figure it out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not about a mass level
or on a personal level?
No, on a mass level.
I think it's definitely what we should be looking for. On a mass level, that is definitely the goal. I think that's what every intelligent human being that has been on this earth, from Albert Einstein to Yogananda, that's what their goal were. And those are two different broadly different types of people. You know, mm-hmm. But the main goal was that they did want to bring connection, that closeness, that ultimate finding of complete knowledge. You know, that's what they wanted, and it's very honorable to do that, and it doesn't go without accreditedness, them being accredited for it, you know, or getting you know, so it doesn't go to waste. It does help a lot of people. I mean, the light bulb, Edison. I mean, we still look at that thing today, you know? So those things are big, big things. And definitely that's what every human being should be striving towards. But is it necessary for it to happen? If it does happen, will it allow still people that come after that to learn, to experience the wrongs of the world that will bring them to that ultimate consciousness or awareness? Then I don't know if that. I think we need these pitfalls and these horrible things that happen to bring us out of that. The reason we worked so hard on getting a light bulb was because people were struggling. He made it for the people that were struggling at night to see the sewing that they were sewing or something like that. So it all comes from the need. If we eliminate the need, does the invention go with it? Does it just become a robotic earth? And I think that's something that we should look at and accept the flaws of this and learn from it and move on. And that those are cliche words that are said to us every day, but the true meaning of them is still very important.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, however far away it may be, the losing the mystery of it would be kind of, I don't know.
I think it definitely
undesirable.
Should have, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we'd lose, you know, everything.
No.
Because there's, you know, there's appreciation in the whatever it is that we come to understand.
Right, and but that
and
would
so,
be...
At least now, I feel like that looking for this ultimate truth is good.
Oh, yeah. And I guarantee it is. And I think it is for you and for our generation. I'm really, when I say that, I'm talking about the next generation. If we just give them that knowing, it becomes robotic for them, not us. I mean, us knowing and trying and striving towards that obviously will give you that sense of appreciation. And that's why, is it a mass thing? Or is it a personal thing?
But do you think that in principle, when we're looking for this now, when we're, you know, studying the brain and doing all this stuff, do you think that we can find the answer or we can find the explanation for how consciousness is produced or no?
I definitely believe that you can find what you're looking for. Exactly. And I think
that... Well, okay, so say what I'm looking for is an explanation, and I think this is like the scientific view, is an explanation of consciousness in terms of the laws of nature. That it will be incorporated into our final understanding of the universe as a component in it. And I guess what that would mean... I mean, there's no way to tell what that would mean.
I definitely,
you know, what is this law that would allow for...
Well, you know what? It may be, and this may contradict what I said earlier, but I do that very often. And this also, you know, this level of finding out a law for this consciousness and putting it down on paper and having it forever will create a second set of questions, you know? Because do the questions end? And does this strive for knowledge that this human body makes us want to know, does it really end, you know? So mm-hmm. I think it is very important. I think it's extremely impossible. I don't think anything is impossible. So I really truly believe that, yes, you can find that. And I think we're nearing it very, very, like, a lot, you know? I think we're looking for it so hard that there's no doubt that since this mass amount of people is looking and asking and wondering, the answers will be, you know, found. And that comes again with the thing of, you know, when they say that usually inventions, when they happen, like, I don't know how many other people around the world also end up thinking of that same thing at the same time. And mm-hmm. and this is another set of those things. I think this is really something that is really being put out there. And I think what you're doing by really just flat out asking the bottom line, the question that everyone just kind of goes around and jumps around and really just talks about everything else, me being one of them, you flat out asking this question is really bringing us closer to having an answer, you know? There's a definite question. What is the frickin' answer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what the answer would be, and I don't think that'll change, because there's just such a big difference between the subjective part of us being conscious and everything else in the universe.
But who's to say that something significant won't happen to change that subjective view? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So keeping that in mind, there's definitely room for, you know, room.
Yeah, and I mean, to explain like the difficulty I have, it's that I see everything is in the brain. I see how my brain works and it does all of this stuff. It seems to fire this part when it's doing this thing. But in terms of the experience I have, there's things like, this blue cup and that hot flame, and it's the subjective part of life that doesn't compare to anything else in the universe. Nothing else in the universe has that subjectivity to it. And so that's why whatever explanation there is for how the brain does this is going to be a really weird explanation. It's
Right.
going to be something that can tie together these two halves of the universe. And
Well, I think if you take a minute to just think outside of really what you're seeing. So you mentioned the blue cup, or a glass or something. I mean, if you look at it in another way, try to make your mind, if that's what you want, your mind to think of the cup in a different way, in a way that you've never looked at it before. In starting off with the cup is made of mine is made of glass, and it sits on a table, and the table sits in a house, and the house sits on a ground that sits on like California land in the United States of America on Earth, and then just think of it like that and take it way out of like the like just change your perspective, And I think that just kind of shows a whole other way you could look at everything, That it's not just a cup, It's a cup that exists on this table, just like I exist on this chair. What is like those kinds of things will really just put maybe in a different perspective for you that answers aren't as clear cut,
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's that it's
Oh, yeah.
the situation is very not clear cut. So
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the example that I really like is, imagine a scientist who is stuck in a black and white room her entire life. So TV's black and white, everything's black and white. She never sees color, and she's a scientist, so she examines and learns every fact there is to know about color. She learns that wavelengths of a certain light of certain wavelengths hitting the eye goes to the brain, does this, and produces a sensation of red. And then imagine moving her into a room with color, and she would learn something new.
Right.
You have to say that she sees color and she learned something new that she could not understand from the explanation that
Without
she had.
seeing that that is a great example.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. It's that divide between subjective and objective, and somehow there's a link.
Well, I just
And
think I think that definitely you can totally see with the eye of what I was talking about was that is that seeing it from the eye that's never seen it before really truly understanding the significance of your existence. And it's just repeating the same shit over and over. I know. But it's like a newborn, You don't want to lose what it is or what it feels like to be a newborn. And you can totally do that. I don't find that anything has to become routine or robotic. And by doing that, you will continually answer new questions. Your questions will never end if you always look at something with that I? And that those questions is links back to what I do as a person is ask it to my conscience. The human brain, I allow myself to ask those questions to myself. I know it's weird, but yeah.
And I mean, do you get things?
Do you get answers?
Yeah, I mean, is there
an... I think it definitely puts me in perspective a lot. I think it definitely answers the questions, but I cannot say that these questions, you know, or these answers are good enough for you, you know? That's why I can't discuss them with you, because they're so personal, they're so to me, you know? Not that they would be different than what you would say, but if I told you, are you just going to take it and run? No, you're going to need to figure it out on your own. Whether you arrive at the same answer is completely irrelevant. Whether you arrive to the same answer, it's
because
really...
I assume I'm doing the same thing. Right. I mean, if it is this internal conversation, I have a question, and then I attack it in different ways, and I rarely, if ever, get information out. It's just a matter of either reformulating my original question and then going out and finding new ways to attack it. Like, I don't, you know, get stuff out of it. It's just...
But you know what?
Very,
you do.
It's very
do.
Mechanical.
But you definitely do get it, because you do in your own way, and that's asking it, researching, rephrasing, asking, researching, rephrasing, answering, asking another question, researching. That's how you do it. For me...
Well, the difference is that, not saying that someone should, but it's formulaic in that someone could take it and understand it.
True.
Whereas what you're talking about is much more mysterious.
Well,
in that
I think
it's
definitely
a solution.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think it is mysterious to someone like you. But say it's someone that is willing, you know, to not take the scientific route. Now, I'm not saying any route is better. It is both extremely, I think your route is extremely honorable, and I like it, and I admire you for that. That's the truth, you know? What I'm trying to say is that to you, my answer is not good enough. But
well,
to someone else that may look at me and really connect to me and look in my eyes, say, for example, and is willing to accept that this kind of conversation or this may lead to something, it's the thing is, you see whatever you want to see. So if someone
well,
is
I
willing...
Think, no, I think that's not... It's not that it's unfair, but it's... You know, I am willing, and I've learned many things from you. It's that I learn things. It's not that, I don't know how to explain it. I will take something that makes sense.
Definitely.
And I don't mean to, you know, like, have a monopoly on things that make sense, but there's a difference between something you can explain to me and other people, and then something that somehow I have to absorb.
No, I completely understand. But let me, I think now my talking is allowing you to take it that way. But let me just, let's really sit down and talk about what I've ever
said
to you.
Can you tell me something you've learned?
Yeah, like,
and then
that's
see if
why,
I can get it.
Let me just say, like, the thing is, I don't just come out and say it. I've never just came out and said, this is it, and you know, what, like, I answer some sort of a question based on something I, you know, went through. Like, everything I've said to you, I make sure that my explanation makes sense. And I talk about it in terms of my experiences. So I tell you my experience in real life, not even in my head, you know, not my head experience. I make sure I link my consciousness to the real life experience that happened to me on earth that led me, along with my consciousness, to believe this as being fact. So I never just pull it out of just consciousness. And I think I think that makes mine credible more, because I do base it on true life experiences that I have been through. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say that, because I think my pulling shit out of the air was starting to sound like that. And I don't even like that. Honestly, I don't even like that. I believe in life, really, really, really living life, never closing your eyes, experiencing everything and learning from it by completely being aware of every moment that you experience in your life. I believe that you can answer every question by completely being aware at a constant state throughout your life, throughout your day, take it by an hour, throughout hour by hour, completely being aware of everything that's going on to you. The second you pick up that cup that is so random, know that you picked up that cup, you know? And that's what I base my things on. My consciousness.
So why do you believe that is important?
I believe that that is important because I believe life is extremely significant. I believe life is not random. It's not arbitrary. Okay, I don't want to say
but
random.
But we develop, like, from the time, I mean, you're talking about staying as a child. Like, when we're born, it's kind of a blank slate. And then from that point on, we prune and clip and do things to our neurons, emphasizing certain things and de-emphasizing certain things. And it's an evolutionary thing. It doesn't make it positive or negative,
yeah.
But it's...
I meant your perspective.
It's a matter of... Well, even that, because a child will go into a new room and they will see everything. And everything will carry equal weight, because they haven't learned to dim things that aren't important and emphasize things that are.
But who's to say that something's not important? That's the complete awareness I'm talking about.
Well, life says. Life says. As they develop, whether or not you like it, you come to realize that some things are more important. Like
food. I understand.
You would focus on food. And then, you know, there's a fan right there that's been in my room, like, all year. I never see it. It might as well not be there.
I understand. But the thing is I don't think that's okay. Now, I'm not saying it's completely human nature.
Why is it important to, like, the successful life to notice fans?
The fact that the fan, because the second it's not there and it's not on, you're going to notice. So noticing that it is blowing that cool air on you, accepting that, respecting that it's there, respecting the invention that made that, is being aware and is giving it credit.
It's not on, and it's a piece of shit. It was like 10 bucks at Walmart.
I thought it was on, you know?
Deserve my respect or my attention.
I'm not saying that as a human person you're not going to do this at a constant pace. It's completely way too difficult to notice everything all the time. It is truly very difficult. I challenge you to do that. But the point,
like, there are things, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I would find it most important with people. So, like, when I'm interacting with someone, I will absorb myself entirely in that. You know, if I'm walking outside on a nice day, I will live that day. But...
Well, that's basically what I'm saying, you know? I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm just... The reason I say this is so that you don't miss that. Because there are moments that you may miss if you're not always trying consciously to be aware. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying literally, you know, it is impossible to pay attention to everything. But if you try to pay attention to everything, you're less likely to miss some pretty okay. serious moments.
All right, I get that. And I mean, I that's something, I have no direct evidence for why that would make me a better person, but it seems to me, with people, I would do it as a matter of respect.
Right.
And
what about your happiness? Myself
on a nice day, it would be because it would be very pleasant to enjoy
exactly.
that time.
There's a happy person brings out happy things, and there's nothing better than happiness. So really striving for happiness, that's a good kind of selfishness, you know? There's good selfishness. There's bad selfishness, but there's also good, you know? And good selfishness is making yourself pleasant so that other people are pleasant around you, you know? And these are little okay. cliche things that are...
No, I like that. I like that. I like doing that, and I like yeah. I like it being important.
I mean, I'm just...
So, yeah. wait, what's something that you think is more... less tangible, that you understand and know deeply because of, you know... somehow you yeah
I think what, that what it is... would be death. I think death is a very non-tangible thing, and I feel my awareness and knowledge on that is is pretty good. You know,
okay.
I mean, I think knowing, and I don't think it takes a lot. I think, I mean, I may know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, but the fact is that the knowledge and awareness that death does happen and death does occur is one step to really knowing, partially knowing its significance in our lives, you know. Just as it is significant to be alive, it's pretty fucking significant. Sorry.
No, I mean, I'm pretty, like, in a very morbid way, excited about it.
Right. No, I understand. I mean, I don't think death is,
It's definitely not something that...
As long as it happens in the right time, you know? Not to say that, you know, I'm not going to start talking about how, or that you can control when you die, but, uh-huh. but really, I think after a certain age, the truth is, you become more aware of putting yourself in certain dangers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We call it maturity, whatever you will, you know, and that's the fact of, like, you know, our progression or whatever. So, like, I guess, you know, it's a good thing that you allow yourself to live, you know. I mean,
This is all, you know, very rational stuff you're giving me here. I'm still looking for the, like...
Okay, so you want me to get in deep. So you want me to talk deep. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want, give me something, you know,
well,
something fresh.
Something fresh. Okay, well, something. I mean, death.
Death.
okay, so, like, you know, I mean, what do you want me to say? You want me to just, what I think about, I'm asking you about,
like, the things you get innately, intuitively, that, and I'm trying to see if
I
can
think it's the truth.
Catch it.
Yeah, I think it's the true, I think what starts all of it is really the true knowledge that my consciousness exists, has existed, and will exist. It is something that I'm completely aware of and, like, believe.
Okay, so in that statement, does exist, I know, you know,
yeah.
I the cogito, all that shit
did exist,
but has and will, tell me more about those.
Okay well, has really comes from the age of my consciousness, that I feel the knowledge that I've had from a young age without much life experiences, really able to take from them, and one thing that I'm able to do, and I don't really talk about this that much, but the fact that I can truly live through someone else's experiences as real as if they were mine, is a big advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because and that to me, that adds to, I guess, proving, or I don't want to prove myself, because then I accept that at some point it may not be real, you know? I don't feel the need to prove, because I know it for a fact. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm just saying is, I don't know, I need more specific of a question to really give you, like, because I don't know, you know, like, maybe moments that we have or things that we talk about. I mean, maybe do you want to just...
I mean, I kind of want to know, not so that I know, but how you know that your soul has existed before your person.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really weird is I kind of delved into this myself just for my own, like, knowledge, you know? And I know that I didn't exist on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That my consciousness is significant, like, existence was not in this realm as a human body ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why my extreme excitement for being here, you know, for the reason for me wanting to try everything, probably without thinking of consequences, not even knowing really truly what consequences are, you know, mm-hmm. until this age where I just kind of finally had to figure it out, you know? And I think we all do that on some level. A lot of us are like that. So it's nothing significant to me. And I really don't want to sound like I'm saying anything that makes me think that I'm better. Because I'm not. Mm-hmm. And
So like, going back to what we were, like, thinking consciousness is, what is it now in that you, or whatever it is that's, like, kind of powering you, existed before, has this sort of choice of entering a very specific person where, and then, you know, exiting again, and or not exiting, but, you know,
right,
sustaining itself even after,
right,
your, you know,
death. Well, what was the first part?
What is consciousness now, in that you can do, or, you know, that it can do these sorts of things?
Oh, right, right.
Because
did it choose me or something?
Like, it's, you know, it's, if I see it in this sort of natural law kind of way, its production here on Earth is generally random.
Right,
so,
right, right.
So, you know, people have a child.
Random. Yeah.
The child develops and it gains consciousness because its brain develops in this way.
Yeah.
And that's how that happens. What is it that you think it is, in that, you know, things can...
Yeah.
That it, you know...
Yeah.
Do you understand what
I'm... No, I do. Basically, I think it's a mix of what you're saying. It is a mix of random and arbitrary, like, thing. My observation and want to live on Earth affected the fact that I wanted to be here. My consciousness want to be here, okay? You know, I found it extremely, I had a form of conscious jealousy, if you will, of existence on Earth as a human form. The things that humans, that we can do are things that, you know, that are pretty freaking cool, pretty real, you know? Mm-hmm. So that kind of want to experience that is what led my consciousness here, if that is something you want to know.
Does this happen in every case?
I don't think so.
So what?
I mean, it definitely...
Are the people who aren't ones that are sort of returning, are they created on the fly here, and then they later return? Or is it always something coming down into the person?
There's a lot of roboticness, you know, which makes it so that, you know, there's a lot of people you meet that are quite robotic, not as much in our day and age, which is kind of interesting, you know, like in this time period, we have a lot of people that are doing this, you know, questioning, talking, discussing this, being aware of it and things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, there's definitely a lot of not necessarily, like, you know, coming down. I think it's sometimes, it's both ways, but sometimes, you know, it happens here and then, if you will, a return to consciousness can be attained through the human body if awareness is desired.
In those robots, the people who you say are robotic, do they have any consciousness?
Yeah.
It's created with that person.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what I just said. If awareness is wanted, it can be attained. Well,
even if
it's not.
Eventually, I'm sure it's a robot.
No, I don't think it ever stays like that. No, I think,
like, say a child. Like, I'm wondering, can a child who's not returning, can they, like, do they necessarily spawn consciousness, or is it only if they seek to?
No, I think they definitely spawn consciousness. But there's a difference between having consciousness and being aware of it.
Okay.
Like, it can be dormant, you know? You could not stir up your consciousness for the willingness.
Is awareness of it the sort of internal conversation? Is that awareness of it?
I think, yeah, to an extent. I mean, I think we all have internal conversations. It's just really what you're looking for, what spawns the answers. If you're looking for an answer about your consciousness, you'll ultimately, you know, find this battle and discuss and be more aware of consciousness. Like, there's like different levels of, I guess there are different levels of consciousness, you know, where, like, it's always there. That's why we're all the same.
I mean, I can believe that. We can all reach different levels. I mean, I would think of it like through drugs or something that,
yeah,
you know, you can
alter.
But the strange thing about that is it's usually brain and chemical that you reach these altered states.
That is strange.
These distinctly altered states.
Yeah. Well, I mean, consciousness and the brain are 100% linked. Without the human body, your consciousness
wouldn't have an outlet. Who may not choose to be aware, and
on some level, everyone is aware. It's the fact that, like, what you want to do with it. If you're bored, if you're just don't even, like, want to delve into it, like, you know, to an extent, you're like, all right, that's cool, you know, I get it, whatever, but I don't want to get into it. I don't want to delve into it. It's too deep. A lot of people say that shit, you know? That is, you know, a form of consciousness, of awareness that doesn't want to be delved into. And I find that that's the case a lot nowadays.
Okay. I mean, you're... like, you're... To me, consciousness is just this one thing. You know, it's the sort of drop that our brains can interact with, and it's this very unique feature of the universe. And the way you're describing it, if I understand it correctly, mm-hmm. is that it is... There is this sort of drop where that everyone gets it, but it's a personal choice to experience it fully.
True. I think okay. That's what I'm saying.
And what do you think incites someone to do that? Because to me it seems very much a result of the random conditions a person is put into. Obviously combined with their desire. But some people in certain conditions never even have the opportunity to desire that further awareness.
Uh-huh.
Because it takes a certain amount of,
comfortness.
Just plain cognition, you know, like learning and something
well,
to
I
be able to...
Well, I don't think it's necessarily learning as much as it is. I mean, the triangle, the table of our basic needs or whatever, where it starts off with like a, what is it, home... Or, like, comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And then shelter or something is, like, our first need. And then we have, you know, those things. I think after that pyramid, because those are basic things, you know, that a lot of people, I agree with you, do not have.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And do you want to say why them, not us, so to speak?
I would say... Not necessarily that, but for it's difficult to say who, afforded the right conditions, would be able to reach this sort of awareness. Because some of the people who don't have everything on that triangle, if they did, would have reached a very, you know, rich level of consciousness. And then people who do have everything on the pyramid don't do shit with it.
Right.
So... I mean...
Well, to whom much is given, much is tested. That's a good thing to say. I know it's religious. But you know, you're accountable for as much as you're given, you know? It's a truth.
But, I mean, to whom much is not given have a really hard test, too.
Definitely. They definitely do. But that comes into play with a lot of other things. And do you believe in reincarnation would be one question you'd have to start off with. And it just delves into a lot of other things that I don't mind talking about, you know? But...
I mean, I...
We all find that it's...
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Nothing. Wasn't that important.
I just find that it's a very... You know, even it's very high on the pyramid. You know, I might even say college education. Because I don't think I
but
really
I totally
thought this high.
Believe. No, well, that, okay, that's maybe... too much. I genuinely believe it does not take that high. No, it is basic shelter. And these are human instincts will allow you to achieve these things. If you follow only basic human instincts, you will get shelter, food, water, and your basic needs met, and a love. Love is on that thing. After that, you do not need anything else.
What are the criteria for awareness? What do you have to get to be, you know, fully
aware? There's no criteria. There's an absolutely, I don't know what that means. Like, I would never
far. Okay, not criteria. No, not criteria. But, like, what is it that you have to understand to be aware?
It's actually what do you have to be aware of to understand. And I think it's a being aware of everything.
Well, I mean, okay, awareness of consciousness... Is that
the sort of thing we're doing? No. Yeah, well, this is something, but I wouldn't even go to say awareness of consciousness. I'm really saying awareness of life is
okay, of just doing the sort of thing we were talking about.
Right. I think focusing. That is what will give you that, it will allow you to attain the awareness of consciousness, because that will force you to have that internal dialogue, to realize the separation of the body and consciousness, to realize that your body is not your consciousness, and those things will lead in themselves to wherever you'd like to go. So I really think it's extremely basic, and I think it's something that we all have, we can all do. I really find that there is absolutely no excuse to not somehow delve into this. Somehow, even
so, why would someone fail?
Who said you would fail?
So, because the robots. You were saying there are people who are robotic who don't reach this awareness.
Well, they chose. Like, they say, it's too deep. I don't want to do it. That's what I'm talking about. People that go so far and stop themselves.
So they do what is necessary to be aware, and then they choose that they're not interested.
Yeah, they don't want to delve into it right now. It's not the time. I mean, we're meeting these people at certain times in our life. So that doesn't mean that when I met this person and he said it was too deep, that 30 years after when he retires, he's not going to sit down and do that. So, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the end of the road. If you don't do it when you're 20, you're screwed, you know? Like, or if you don't think about it for the rest of your life, you're screwed. These are people that I'm saying I met right now that said this to me. But I don't know what they're going to do later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a internal thing that some people want to know about it now and realize its significance in their world right now. And some people need to go through the motions of the world and go to work and advance and do those things and then realize, okay, that didn't fulfill everything I wanted. Let me go back to this, you know? And some people just need to do it that way.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, it still seems though that there's more than just that plain awareness of, like, you know, situational awareness that's just required.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that's the seed planted to get you, you know, like, I'm not saying that's it. That's all you got to do when you're in the clear, you know? No,
So what else is there? I mean, like, because at some point, I think if you are talking about, like, leaving this robotic state, it's, okay, yes, you must at least have the ability to sort of snap out of robot and into interest.
Mm-hmm.
But before you're, you know, aware of yourself as a being, before you can do the sort of thing, like, you know, grasp the fact that you must exist because, you know, Descartes said so, then it takes a bit of work.
Yeah.
And I feel like that sort of work is difficult and very privileged.
Yeah, I agree. Here's the thing. I agree because now I feel like for some reason people are told, especially in, like, my world of, like, people thinking, you know, maybe you want to take meditation and things like that. I think maybe that's what you're talking about, you know? The real internal, just really working, you know? And, yeah, it's definitely significant, but
I mean it more in terms of, like, just plain thinking.
Yeah, just to be able to sit down, which would be meditation, would be traveling to India, you know, and all of those things that people do, you know, that you have to have that free time, that money, that all of those things to be able to do it. And that's privilege, right? And that's mm-hmm. added onto the pyramid. And mm-hmm. and what I like to say is none of that bullshit is needed, okay? But what is needed is difficult. See, it's easy if you drop everything and you do it that way, because it gives you you can let go, you can ignore the world, you know, ignore everything and do it that way, it is easier. The real challenge is existing in the world and using every second and moment as your trip, as your meditation, as your what do they call that, the walk they do? What do they call the trek, like when people go like a pilgrimage, you know? Uh-huh. Use the uh-huh. real world as your pilgrimage. Walk the walk as you walk your and do your everyday life. That is the real test, you know? If you're not, you can't do the other thing, you know?
Because, I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, a big component and oddly high on that pyramid is education. And that's something, because, I mean, you know, you, not necessarily going the route of, like,
college, you
know, meditation, or, like, going, you know, full out to college. It's like, to me, it seems like you need a certain method of critical thinking, and it's sort of taught, and it's sort of like,
yeah, I think it does take some sort of dedication, but it's not the dedication that you have to give to a job, or it's not a dedication that has to be harsh.
No, but it's a dedication that you have to be in a certain condition to be able to reach.
Right. Well,
and that's the sort of condition that's out of your hands.
Well, it's not out of your hands because a lot of people that are fucking homeless went off to Harvard. That didn't have, I saw a girl.
No, I think they're pretty rare.
It is rare.
A lot of the homeless people didn't go to Harvard.
It is rare. But my point is this is when you want to go back to reincarnation and doing things that you believe you have repercussions for. We're all on an equal thing. And what I wanted to say about the other part is that, what did I want to say?
See, I guess the problem is that I don't believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening between us is that in your case, those conditions will be reversed in another life.
Well, not, and I for don't me, think, no, I don't think that they will just be reversed for you. I think,
okay, not reversed, but ultimately every person will have the proper opportunity.
Balance? Do you believe there's a balance on Earth of, like, right and wrong? Like, not in people, but in actual, like, things that happen. Is there always a right time when it's okay and always a wrong time, you know, when it's not okay, a certain situation? Like, is it...
It's really vague.
Like, sometimes... Is killing... No, I don't want to use the word...
I don't believe in, like, absolute rules like that, no. I do believe that there's a... You know, it's a situational thing.
Yeah, so... That situational thing, maybe take situational thing to another... To the next situation, to the situation that we were talking about.
No, but what I was saying is that in terms of someone who doesn't believe in reincarnation, the opportunity to reach that awareness of you know, being fully aware of your consciousness is presented to some people and not to others. And now, when you believe in reincarnation, that's
but
not
do
such
you
a big deal.
That it's presented to some and not to others? Like, can you really understand what's going on in someone's mind that is homeless?
No, but there are at least, you know, cases where it's pretty apparent that this conscious being did not have the chance to reach their full potential in terms of awareness because they were born in a certain, you know, situation. Yeah, and if you don't think they can come back and give it another go, then they're kind of fucked.
No one's fucked. You know, that's the thing. No one is
fucked.
Fucked. No, they're not. Because, okay, say on your case, that wouldn't you think that then you would just be like, you were clearly less fortunate, so you clearly didn't have the chances to get there, so whatever.
Yeah, but that kind of sucks for them.
Why not think that their consciousness would develop after death, maybe?
Because I don't believe that can happen.
So then why do you even believe consciousness exists?
Because I'm conscious.
Okay, so you're conscious. What's to say the homeless person isn't conscious?
I'm understanding consciousness in the sort of levels of awareness that you do.
Okay.
And interpreting it from not believing in reincarnation.
But
my
let's
understanding
talk about
of consciousness doesn't have that. Okay.
Let's talk about the homeless person. Okay?
Okay.
The homeless
what about
person him? That doesn't have the pyramid basic things. And what are we saying about his consciousness? Does he have it?
Under my definition, obviously, he has a brain.
Okay, so then
under your definition, he presumably he didn't have a proper education, so he's sort of lacking in the tools of reaching that awareness.
I never said that.
And then, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Because I did say I feel like education is sort of important.
Okay.
In developing the skills you need to understand who you are.
Okay. See, I believe is that he, because I believe everything I learned was from life, right? I give you my life experiences to show you why I believe a certain way. Why my consciousness mm-hmm. has put me in my life situations have given me this answer, right? And I believe his life experiences, which are quite rich, richer than someone that just was born into La La Land, you know? He or she really is experiencing life, you know? I believe that who's to say the homeless man is not more knowledgeable and more conscious than me, who is not at one and in peace with himself more than me, and who has decided to be homeless because the world, this is his way of ignoring the world, the noise around him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, saying that was really broad, and I didn't mean that. I think a better example would be, like, you know, we've talked before about, like, kid who in born in Africa who is starving and really does not have any of those triangle things, and they to me are conscious because of, you know, they exist, they were born like me, and they dropped in the same way that I dropped in,
right?
So, sort of out of my control. I didn't choose to be, you know, in this, you know,
and
middle class family,
moral,
went to high school, college, and I've basically I find, you know, life unfair, and because of that, my solution is to, you know, I'm gonna be a doctor.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, and that's why you should help them, because that's how you feel, and you're not hurting anyone. And you're actually helping, and they need that. They need that.
But for you, what does that person mean for you?
That's a very unfortunate person that is struggling and that needs our help. I mean, I don't think any way other than you. I don't say they deserve that, you know?
But are they sort of robotic? Are they
no, definitely
less
not
conscious than someone else?
No, I never said that. I totally, like, I thought about the homeless person.
But you say there are, like, levels of awareness. And
no, levels of and awareness of your consciousness doesn't make you better than someone, you know? That's just the situations in my lifetime or my lifetimes allowed me to reach this awareness of consciousness. Level of awareness of consciousness. They are still conscious and somewhat aware of their consciousness, but they don't have time to sit there and think about it, and that's what you were saying.
Right, but you existed before this, and you came down and, you know, have chosen, not you specifically, but, no?
I mean, because I mean, you that, can that's say that, divide, that's I see, what I pretty that, much said, I guess, you know, so I guess that's what I said.
No, because there does seem to be a divide between, like,
well, here, you know, what do you think of karma?
What do you mean? I don't think anything of karma.
See, I think there's a balance in this world. There's a level, there's an equilibrium. And there's nothing wrong, there's nothing right. There's nothing blue, there's nothing black. There's nothing like, everything is level. As much of one thing, there's of the exact opposite. And as much as the opposite, there's exact, like, you know, it levels. It's equilibrium. So I don't question, you know, it balances itself out. I'm no more, I'm, you know, I'm more fortunate and I have more obligations because I'm more fortunate. I believe in morals. I believe in everything that you do. This doesn't affect the bottom line. So what we believe in, the difference that we believe in, doesn't affect the bottom line. I still feel the need to help. I still feel the need to understand that they are less fortunate. I still feel the need to understand that they didn't have the chances that I have or have right now in this lifetime. And that's what I add to the end of the sentence. That's what I add.
But this thing drops people into certain people and drops other people into other people.
Okay, but I believe in
Did someone choose to drop into the child?
No, I didn't choose, you know? Like, you're taking... I didn't choose. I wanted... You know, be careful what you wish for, because it just might happen, you know? And, like, this is what I wanted. Without
did
knowing...
Did someone want that?
I don't know. Maybe subconsciously someone did. I really don't know. And each person is different. Each person is different. Like, you're telling me to tell you why everyone in Africa that's homeless or that doesn't have food doesn't have food. That's what you're trying to tell, like, making me tell you. That's too much.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm trying, because for me it makes sense, or I make it make sense in randomness. That's how I come to terms with it. That's how I cope with the unfairness of it.
I don't find that
randomness
gives a good answer, personally.
No, but I don't find that karma gives a good answer, because then you have this strange idea of balance that makes this thing okay because there's good somewhere else.
No, it's not that. It's not. It's their the person's individual karma. I'm not talking about... They're not over there based on the world's karma. That's not fair.
They're over there based on their previous lives' karma.
Their own karma. I don't know about previous lives. I don't know if they've had previous lives. This is based on their karma.
What aspect of their karma would force them to be born in those conditions?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, what could it be?
I really don't know. It could be no remorse, probably. I mean, I don't think anything bad that you do, you know, there's no such thing as something that's so bad that, you know...
I'm trying to understand it. If it's not random, what is it?
Because
I
just
understand
not
it
random.
As random.
It's just not random.
Well, then, if it's not random... then it has some explanation or purpose. Otherwise, it would be random.
Right. And that my explanation is what I said. And I think that this thing also, like, plays in so many other things play into this. Like, time. What do you think of time? What do you think? Does time, is it parallel or is it perpendicular? You know? What do you think of... like your existence right now and someone else's existence across the world. Like, I think that plays a big part in also why some people in Africa are starving and why here I'm eating.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that seems secondary to the karma thing, right? Is it? I mean, what?
I think it's like linked to an extent because it can also explain how some things could be robotic.
Like, I'm trying to understand just this one aspect because I feel like, you know, we generally agree in a lot, and this might be something that would differentiate what we believe.
Yeah.
So, why is it that that happens?
I hate the word karma.
Okay, then what is it? Like, what's happening that sort of produces that in understanding that it's not random?
People's selfishness, really, you know? I mean,
the individual selfishness?
No, not the people in Africa. I think the world's selfishness has created this.
Well, yes, I believe that too. But I'm talking about the creation of consciousness in that person.
Well, here's the thing. You know what? I haven't talked to anyone, to a conscious being there. I haven't. Mm-hmm. And because I believe time is somewhat relevant to this issue, and I don't know if I can explain to you why, mm-hmm. I cannot guarantee anything I say.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I understand that I don't have a direct connection, but like, just as a thought experiment.
Yeah.
Not saying anything about who this person is or who they grow up to be.
The consciousness could not exist in those people. It could be a tool of awakeningness for the selfishness that is happening here.
Okay, I mean, I kind of understand that. But that person is very much like me. That's what I have trouble understanding.
Well, he's a human being. He's a human being. Well, but that doesn't...
Also, in that sense that my consciousness is random. So, you know, so is theirs. That in just the same way that I came to be who I am, I could have come to be every single other person who's living.
But you cannot guarantee that.
No, but hypothetically,
and you also
like,
cannot guarantee that a consciousness, like, first of all, I am not saying...
Yeah, I don't mean to say... Hold on. I don't mean to say I as in me, Tom Fadile. I'm sort of talking about it in the bigger sense that
if I am, therefore, yeah.
An existence was created sort of in this body, and the existence that I am could be anyone else.
But
we're all equal in that most fundamental way. So I'm trying to understand. Let me just say something.
You know, scratch out the consciousness that is in Africa. Okay. Mm-hmm. Could be completely pure, could be completely aware, and is suffering for our awareness. This is a time and age where I can see across the world to another country, and I can literally see exactly what is going on there, and I'm not budging. That's some crazy shit. I'm not even moving. And I see with my own eyes that something, mm-hmm. human suffering is happening. That's a dangerous time because that means we as humans do not care.
Mm-hmm.
And this will change. This is going to change, and very soon it will change. And these are all signs to make us aware of that. The awareness that needs to happen on Earth is partially being aware and working on yourself and getting yourself to a certain point of awareness, but then taking that awareness and helping others. If you continue on the track of searching for your own benefit and your own awareness, past the stage where you need to be on earth, it may turn into selfishness, a bad selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
So we go the miles, we feel the happiness that this awareness gives us, feel the joy, feel the ecstasy, feel the euphoria that it brings us, and then bring that to someone else. That's the only way this world will be saved.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely share a lot.
I'm right there with you.
Especially the big stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. And the bottom line, and what I was trying to say earlier, was the bottom line is, it, you know, those little things, let's definitely think about them in ourselves and really figure them out. But the big picture is really the same. And the main goal, the final goal, is really the same. So I mean, that's good. One person, you're a second person, and many more need to come. But what's happening is people are losing their way. They're trying to go the distance in one direction. And you can never go in one direction. So you listening to me and me listening to you is two people on different directions talking to each other. That's a very good thing. That's an extremely good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're accepting both sides and realizing the bottom line.
Yeah, it's only through, you know, putting your beliefs to test that you can either realize you need to change something, or, you know, you reaffirm what you think.
Yeah, and you bring people that you... you know, closer to you, that aren't the same as you. People are bonding to the same meditation and meditation and meditation, and they're secluding themselves way too much, you know? And if I'm fearful of that, because it pushes out people that are like you, that are extremely knowledgeable, that are extremely trying to do the same thing someone else is doing. They just push them out of their life, you know? And that's not acceptance, and that's not coming together, and that's exactly what we need right now.